Bibles this morning, turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, please. Jeremiah chapter 6, and I've entitled the message, Ways We Know We're on the Old Path. Ways We Know We're on the Old Path. And Jeremiah, you know, I've got a lot of favorites in the Bible. I love so many different characters. Jeremiah, well, I should say this, I love many of them for many different reasons. Every one of them has a different reason why they, if you will, they're one of my heroes. Joseph, I mean, one of the great men of the Bible. And you think about the things that he went through and all of the negative things that he went through in his life. It seemed like the whole, as we'll see in my message, the whole world was against him. But God was for him. Jeremiah, and you know, here's a man who stood for the truth of the Word of God in a day when it seemed like no one else in the world was wanting to listen to the message of God. You know, sometimes we as independent Baptists, and you know, as what we would say, we're Bible believing Christians. Amen. We believe the Bible. Amen. Amen. And at least we want to believe it, amen? We believe the Bible, and it seems today that nobody really wants to listen. No, nobody wants to follow the Word of God anymore. Nobody wants to live for the Lord anymore. Nobody wants to fashion their lives around godliness and holiness. And it seems like everywhere we turn, there's apostasy. And you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm not even sure what that word apostasy means. Well, apostasy, it literally means this, just to move away from a position. It means you're not static. You're not firm or strong in a position. And the Bible talks about the nation of Israel falling into apostasy. And during the time of Jeremiah, Israel had fallen into massive apostasy. It was horrible in Jeremiah's day. I mean, nobody was serving God. You know, the scary thing about it was, though, that, you know, everyone thought that they were serving God. They were going through all of their religious rituals. They were following the sacrifices, but they were polluting the sacrifices. There was prostitution. There was extortion. It was absolute anarchy in Israel. And yet everyone thought, even the king thought, hey, you know what? I know we may be offering polluted sacrifices, but you know, we're still doing it. We're still sacrificing. Isn't that good enough? And Jeremiah comes along. God calls him and raises him up in an apostate day when he had no friends and he had no other pastors he could call up for a little bit of counseling or just a time of fellowship because he was alone. He was absolutely alone in the nation of Israel. And he's known for many different things as we think of things that, you know, when we look at individuals in the Bible that we can say, you know, he's one of my heroes. Different reasons. There were different things that Jeremiah was known for. He was probably most commonly known as the weeping prophet because he shed many tears over the sins of Israel. He was also known as the lonely prophet because God had told him that he wasn't to ever get married. He's also known as the reluctant prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He was reluctant. Judah was apostate. They had defiled the sanctuary. They were offering idols, prostitution, extortion. It sounds a little bit crazy, but it almost sounds a little bit like our day. And the verse we're going to look at today is a call from God specifically for the nation of Israel to get back on the old paths. They were to return to serving God in God's manner and in God's way and in God's service. They were to repent of their sin that had caused them to err. And if you're able to, we'll stand together as we read Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We've come here this morning to hear from you and look into the Word of God and to challenge our hearts and to maybe come that little bit closer to Christ because of what we hear from your Word today. But Lord, as we consider this message this morning, every one of us needs to ask ourselves, are we truly on the old path? So Father, would you speak to hearts? And would I preach this message this morning in a way that would be conducive to bringing about the results, Lord, that you would desire in the hearts of your people? So again, for your glory and for your honor, would you work? Would you continue to guide? We'll thank you, we'll praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. The Bible says here that Israel was to ask for the old paths that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walked in, the old paths that Enoch and Noah walked in. What is the old path? The old path is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's living for God. It's walking according to God's precepts. The Bible says here as well that they were to stand in the way. And what does it mean when God says here that we're to stand in the way? The idea here is that that Israel was to judge for themselves. God is essentially saying, Israel, I want you to judge for yourselves. Ask yourselves, are you standing in the old paths? And that, brothers and sisters, is the question that I want to ask you this morning. Are you standing in the old paths? And I'm going to bring you some ways here that we can know whether or not we are actually standing in the old paths. You know, these individuals... And there were many blind prophets during Jeremiah's preaching. And if you read through the book of Jeremiah, you'll find all of these false prophets, all of these other prophets that there were, you know what they were doing? They were tickling the ears of the kings, and they were tickling the ears of the people that, you know what, everything's okay, we're fine, God isn't going to judge Israel. And God is saying to Israel, not only are you to examine yourself, judge yourselves whether or not you're standing in the old paths, but I want you to understand this. You've got to learn to stop listening to these old false prophets, to these individuals that just want you to hear what you want to hear. You know, there's lots of places you can go where people are going to tell you what you want to hear. But God says we've got to listen to what He wants us to hear. And we've got to ask ourselves and judge for ourselves whether we are on those old paths. Number one, the first reason or the first way I want us to understand how we can know if we're on that old path or the old paths is there will be resistance and opposition. You know you're on the old paths when there's resistance and opposition. Now, I always like to bring a little disclaimer in when I talk about this idea as well. I have met Christians who, I don't know how to put it politely, but the cheese has fallen out of their sandwich. And it's like they invite trouble. You know the kind I'm talking about? Like they think that their goal in life is to go and to cause trouble, and that means they're right with God. Listen, if you're living for God and you're on the old paths, you don't have to go and look for trouble. It'll find you. This world is going in a direction, and this world is going in a completely opposite direction than that old path is going. You know what we're doing when we're on the old path? We're essentially going upstream, and when we go upstream, we're gonna have opposition and resistance. You know, people aren't going to like you living for the Lord. People aren't going to like you putting God first in your life. This world is going to try to tell you, listen, you don't need to be so serious about church. You don't need to be so serious about reading your Bible and about witnessing and about doing all the things that God desires for us to do. And we're on that path. People are going to give us resistance. And I've talked too much over the years maybe about the resistance that I've had when I was first saved from my family, and my family telling me they wanted nothing to do with me anymore, and all of these other things. And we probably, if you're on that path, you've been there. Where people are going to try, there's going to be resistance. Somebody said this, sometimes I feel like the whole world is against me, but deep down I know that that's not true. Some of the smaller countries are neutral. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. He said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but many there be which go in thereat. And verse 14, he says, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now the idea of that word narrow there is the idea of obstructions or obstacles in your way. It's difficulty. Now, folks, it is not difficult to get saved. It's not difficult. The Bible says that a child can be saved. In fact, the Bible says that we can't be saved unless we become a child and put our faith and trust in Christ. But, you know, salvation and the Christian path sometimes isn't the easiest to trod. The idea of this narrowness and obstruction is the idea of resistance and opposition. It's going to be difficult on the road. There's a lot of bumps. And there's a lot of things that are going to try to slow us down. You see, the right path isn't always the easiest path, but the old path is always the right path. Amen? The Bible says, seek and ask for the old path wherein is the good way. It is the good way, but not the easy way. This world is going in a crazy direction. It's going in the opposite direction of God. And as I said, we are going upstream. There's no question that anyone who makes a decision for Jesus Christ is going to face opposition from friends and family and from the unsaved world in general. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, Jesus said, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the Bible says here, and Jesus Christ says, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words. And I love this scripture. The Bible says, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. You're going to get some resistance. You're going to have some opposition. And when you're going out and when you're preaching the gospel and people don't receive you, just shake the dust off your feet and move on. Amen. Keep going for the Lord. The second way we know we're on the right path or on the old paths is by fear. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 3 there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. Fear is something, according to some people, it's the only thing to fear. We should fear fear. But you know, the Bible teaches that fear is healthy. That fear is a good thing. You know, God has given us all of our emotions. And every one of our emotions can be used for the right reasons, whether it's fear or even anger. Can be used for the right reasons. And fear, God has given us fear, and fear is healthy. And it's right. We should have fear. And we're going to see what kind of fear we should have. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." So Paul is saying here, you know, when I was with you, the last time I was with you, I was there in weakness. But he says, I was there in fear. Now, was Paul standing around or sitting around or hiding around in fear of these Corinthian believers? Was that the reason why he was in fear? No. The Apostle Paul knew fear in the path that he was on for a couple of reasons. The first, of course, was that he was suffering from the resistance and from the opposition that we just talked about. He was suffering from the fear and the opposition that we have seen. He was experiencing just how narrow that path actually was. He had enemies in every quarter. People that were trying to destroy him. People that were trying to stop him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 18 and verse 6, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon you, upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go on to the Gentiles." You know what he's doing there? He's kicking the dust off his feet and he's moving on. "Well, I've made some enemies here, but I'm going to keep going." Amen. "I'm going to make some enemies in some other places. But on the way, as I'm going, you know, there may be some people that don't like what I'm doing. There may be some people that don't like my ministry. You know, the Ministerial Association wants to assassinate me." You know, he wasn't very popular with the religious community. But one thing we know, that as he went to those communities and he went to the various places and as he preached the gospel, there was some people that didn't like what he was doing. But praise God, there were some people that got saved. Amen. There were some people that heard the gospel. There were some people that believed the gospel, and some people that got right with God. And they started living for God. Jesus Christ used Paul in such a great way, but Paul had fear. Not only did he have fear of the enemies and the opposition, but Paul had the path that he was on. He had fear for another reason, and that was because he understood the seriousness of the matter. You know, Christianity and living for God it's not something that we should take lightly. And I want you to stop and think about this for a minute when we think about that old path. We go back to Jeremiah. We go back to Jeremiah's day. Do you believe that the people of Israel, that the children of Israel in Jeremiah's day feared God? Did they have fear? I cannot see it being possible. You see, with the fear of God, the Bible says, comes the knowledge of God. In fact, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Fearing God is hating the evil. And we know we're on the right path when we fear God, because the fear of God will keep us on the right path. You know, we can fool a lot of people a lot of the times. You know, we may be able to get by. You know, how many times I talked about the police officers, you know, when we see, what's the first thing we do when we see the police officer? We look at our speedometer. And what's the first thing we do when the police officer keeps going and we're looking in our mirror and his lights aren't on and we were actually doing 15 kilometers over the speed limit? What's the first thing we do? We think, man, good, I fooled them this time. You know, I didn't get caught. But you know, when we stand before God, the Bible says that we're going to be accountable for everything. Every word that proceedeth out of our mouth. And we need to fear God. And fear shows that we are on the right path. Jeremiah understood that the reason Israel was apostate And the reason why they were off course was because they had lost the fear of God. Jeremiah also understood the matter and the seriousness of the matter. The lives and the eternal souls of individuals. Paul understood the seriousness of the matter. He understood the seriousness that the blood of Jesus Christ could be upon him if he did not preach the gospel to all that he could. He understood the seriousness of standing before God when he died. Even as a saved person, he understood it was a serious matter. The third thing I want us to see that will help us to know whether we're on the old path is risk. Esther, turn in your Bibles to Esther chapter 4, please. And again, going to Esther, another hero, heroine, she, a woman that was willing to pay the price to do what she needed to do. One of the greatest examples of a person on the right path, on the old path, and standing for God. The Bible says in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Esther was on the old path. The entire fate of the nation of Israel was on the line. There had been put out a decree to destroy the nation of Israel. All the Jews were to be put to death. And here was Esther, the queen, who just happened to be a Jew, and she knew the king pretty good. Mordecai comes along and said, "Listen, Esther, you might be able to help us out. You know, you might, Esther, you might be able to do something to stop this decree and stop this genocide and stop the extinction of the Jewish people. You know, you need to go and you need to talk to the king." And you might think, well, you know, that's really not a difficult thing. I mean, she is the queen after all, and certainly it wouldn't be that difficult for her to go and talk to her husband and say, "Listen, you know, if this decree is carried out, you know, I'm a Jew. I'm going to get killed." Mordecai, I said, "Listen, you know what? God may have put you in the position that you're in to be able to tell this king that he needs to stop the decree. And you would think that there would be no risk. You would think it would be a pretty simple thing for her to do. But listen to this." We stop and think about the risk that she was truly facing. First of all, she could have been killed by her own husband for making such a request. What do you mean killed by her husband? That's exactly what could have happened. The Bible says in verse 11, "And the king's servant and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever..." And I'm going to add this, including the king's wife, "whether man or woman shall come unto the king into the inner court who was not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days." She said, "You know what? My husband might kill me." Secondly, she was in danger of dying by the hand of divine justice for not doing her duty by making the petition. The Bible says, "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." There was going one way or the other. If she didn't do something to stop this decree, she was going to die. And thirdly, by the decree itself. One way or another, as I mentioned, they would be destroyed. And it would certainly be much better for her to be destroyed because she did what was right. So the risk was great. She had everything to lose. She went to the king. And she petitioned the king. And not only did God spare her life and her father's house from being destroyed, but God spared the nation of Israel when the king put an end to the decree. You know, we are on the right path when we are willing to risk and sacrifice for God. How much sacrifice do people have today? Sacrificing their time to be at church, sacrificing of their money, sacrificing of their time to go soul winning or giving out gospel tracts or telling people about Jesus Christ. Sacrificing friendships. You know, if I tell them I'm a Christian, if I start witnessing to them, they're not going to want to be my friend anymore. Well, would you rather them die and go to hell? We know we're on the right path when we're willing to sacrifice. And then lastly, we know we're on the old path when we have success. And before I, again, go get into this final point here, I want us to understand, you know, we are living in a day when, you know, first of all, I'll say this. Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in the day when we could see revival and 5,000 people being saved in one day? Having a little tent meeting down the road and seeing 3,000 people getting saved. And, you know, we're living in a day when it's very difficult to win people to the Lord. And, you know, I'm going to say this as well. I don't know if there's ever been a day when it's really been easy. Could you imagine living for those 1,000 years plus, those during the Dark Ages, when you could be killed for being a Christian? Or how about the first 150 years after the church started and after Jesus Christ's earthly ministry was over, when those Christians were being thrown to the lions and Nero and his insane decrees were putting Christians to death, burning them at the stake? You know, the old fish symbol that Christians used, that was something that they devised because you couldn't just go up to somebody and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian?" So they would make a little line in the sand. And then the other guy would make a line, and that's what it would look like, is that fish symbol. And that way they knew secretly that they were Christians. You just couldn't go around telling people you were Christians. Very difficult. And when I say success here, you know, I'm not going to say you're not a success if I've only one person of Christ in my life, you know. I think we should be desiring every day to win somebody to Christ. Amen. I think we should be desiring to win somebody to Christ every year. It's a hard day we live in. And you talk to preachers and you talk to people all around, and it's a difficult day. But we've got to keep moving forward. Amen. We've got to shake the dust off our feet. Go to the next house. Go to the next village. Preach the gospel. Success is simply knowing the will of God and doing it. Amen? That's success. But Paul was successful because he was on the right path. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3 to verse 5, the Bible says, We give thanks to God and to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Wherefore ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So Paul is talking to the Colossians here. He's writing to them saying, we're so thankful to see the successful church that started there. We're so thankful to see you growing in the Lord and to see you moving forward for God and reaching other people for Christ, despite the obstacles and despite the opposition. George MacDonald said this, In whatever man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed more miserably. You see, without God, we can do nothing. Paul was successful because he was on the right path. He was on the old path. You see, true success is found in the service of God. The old paths are the paths to victory. And we know that we're on that path when we succeed in our Christian life. Praise God for every single person who comes to Christ. Praise God for every single person who sees the victory. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23, the Bible says, "But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Praise God for success. Amen. Praise God for what He's done in our life and the power of God that's changed us and molded us and made us into something valuable for the Lord and for the Lord's service. There was a preacher many years ago in Canada here by the name of John Getty. In the 1940s, he was a pastor of a church. He left Canada, left his church, left the comforts of home, took his wife and his two small children to the South Sea Islands to begin a ministry work there. After a voyage of more than 20,000 miles, they arrived in the New Hebrides Islands. The island chain was filled with cannibals, and more than 20 crew members of a British ship had been killed in this particular island that he went to minister to just months before he arrived. They faced the difficulty of learning a language that had no written form, and the constant threat of being killed, and slowly at first a few converts came, and then soon many more received the gospel. Getty continued his ministry, faithfully serving, including translating the entire Bible into the native language and planting 25 churches. For many of those years, Getty labored with little help and little word from home, but God was faithful to his servant. In the pulpit of the church Getty pastored for so many years stands a plaque in his honor, and it says this: when he landed there in 1948, there were no Christians. And when he left in 1972, there were no heathen. And he was successful because he was standing in the old paths. Are we on the old paths, brothers and sisters? Has God shown us today that maybe we need to switch lanes, get back in the old paths, serve God, love Him, and be all that we can for His glory? Father, thank You for this time together this morning. And Lord God, I thank You as You've shown us some individuals in the Bible who were unquestionably on the old path. Lord, I pray that You would help us, first of all, to know that we're saved, to know that we're on our way to heaven, our sins have been forgiven, and our relationship with You has been restored. And then I pray that You would help those of us that are saved to really, truly look into our lives to see whether we are on the old paths. With everyone's head bowed and eyes are closed, would you be here this morning, and could you, with an upraised hand, say, "Pastor McSwiggin, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven." Amen. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Would you be here this morning, and could you, with an upraised hand, say, "Pastor, I know that I'm not saved, and I'm concerned about where I might be if I was to die today." 13 people, young people, killed already, died already this year in Canada from the flu. We never know when our last day is going to be. Don't take the chance. If you're not saved, God wants you to put your faith in Him. Could you say, "Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me that I might come to that understanding." Anyone at all, say, "Pastor, pray for me." Would you be here then as a Christian? And say, "Pastor, there's some areas that I've seen this morning. I need to do some adjusting in my life, and I need to get back on that old path. Would you pray for me?" Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Father, thank you for those that were able to raise the hand today, and for others, Lord, maybe in our hearts, we know that we're not where we ought to be. Maybe we're in our own hearts apostate, where we've moved away from God. We're no longer standing in fellowship with Him, and we need to get back on that old path. I pray you'd work in hearts, and may the Holy Spirit of God work now as we have this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We have a song of invitation.